This morning from the Old Testament, Book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 8. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And from the New Testament book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come into this season of Lent, help us as we look towards the cross to see where you are, to see where you're working, and to follow in your path. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So it is the beginning of Lent. Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, marked the beginning of that, and we had a service here. It was lovely to be up here at the front in the chancel, and we talked a bit about forgiveness, and so we're going to continue. And what we're looking at is the seven last words of Jesus, which are not necessarily single words, but things that Jesus said from the cross. So even though we're still going to do Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and all those things, really all through this time, we're going to take a moment to really sit with Jesus on the cross and the things that he said in those moments before he died and see what they have to say for us today. The passages come from three different books, from Matthew, from Luke, and from John. We're not doing them in any kind of chronological order, kind of based on how they fit and what else is going on. And so we're starting with this phrase, I thirst. So let's start with a question. How much water should you drink every day? 2 liters. Or 8 glasses? Anyone have a different answer?
8 cups,
yeah. So that number, 6 to 8 glasses or 2 or 2.5 liters, showed up in a report in 1945 from the U.S. Food and Nutrition Board. But what's fascinating about the number, there's a couple things. One, it wasn't based, or at least the report never referenced any kind of study or scientific information. And one of the things they say in the report is you get most of that water from your food. So although many of us live with this idea that we have to drink 2 liters or 8 glasses every day, most doctors and most experts would say, drink when you're thirsty. Drink when you exercise. Drink when it's really hot outside. And you will get all of the water you need. With the caveat that as we get older, our thirst senses actually diminish. So older people are more at risk for dehydration because they may not feel it. But beyond that, it's really a drink when you're thirsty. And one of the other interesting things about thirst in people is that we are actually one of the animals that's most vulnerable to dehydration. So a lot of animals have ways to store water within their bodies, or they have fewer ways where they lose water. But people, we haven't developed those tools. The way that we replenish our water is by drinking it or eating it. Which makes us vulnerable if we don't have access to those things. So don't stop drinking water because I've told you these facts, but just keep in mind, right, that our thirst is what causes us. And probably as I'm talking about this, I don't know how many of you are starting to get thirsty as I talk about water, but I am. So can you imagine how thirsty Jesus must have been by this point on the cross? He had his last supper with his disciples the night before. Then he was arrested. He was questioned all day. He was beaten. He was made to carry his cross until he couldn't carry it any longer. And then he's been baking, maybe in the sun. Presumably the sun was out because it got dark later, for hours. So maybe it's not surprising that one of the things Jesus says on the cross is, "I thirst." In some ways, it feels a little bit like an understatement, doesn't it? Right? Jesus must have been, well, he was dying, and he had had no food or drink in close to 24 hours. So certainly, I know I would be thirsty. And what he says, this is actually one of the cases where it is a single word. Although in English, it's translated as "I am thirsty" or "I thirst," the Greek is simply "thipso," because in Greek, it incorporates the pronoun. Thank you. So the "I" is implied by the ending of "thipso." So it's a single word, "thipso," which feels a bit inadequate for the moment. But as is often the case in what Jesus says at any point in his ministry, what he says doesn't have only one meaning. There's the plain meaning, but then there's often things that go deeper. And one of the ways that scholars think Jesus is trying to get us to think is he's actually referring us to a psalm, right? He does this as well in another spot where he says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is the beginning of Psalm 22. But here, we think, he's referencing Psalm 69. And this is a psalm of David, where David is being pursued by his enemies and overcome, and he is asking God for help. And in the middle of that psalm, David wrote, "I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Sounds a little bit like what Jesus was experiencing on the cross. There are a number of psalms that write this way, plea to God for help. Psalm 22 is another one. Psalm 42, which we're gonna sing a song in a moment based on Psalm 42, right, that asks that same thing. "As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God." We can find them all over because all too often we thirst. But what's beautiful about this Psalm 69, so it starts with, "Save me, O God," and it ends with, "Let heaven and earth praise him, for God will save Zion." And so even Jesus' cry for thirst brings us to mind, or is intended to bring us to mind, the reality of God's saving grace, and about how we are invited to go to Jesus to satisfy our thirst. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but first we're going to sing. So As the Deer, which is a song that's based on Psalm 42. So we talked about this a little bit with the kids, but I'm going to ask this question for everyone. What are some things that you can't do without?
Air.
Air. Breathing, food, water. Sure.
Sunshine.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but the longer we go with cloudy days, the harder it gets. And those sunshiny days, even when they're cold, are glorious. Are there other things we can't do without?
Shelter.
Shelter. Are there some things that probably you can do without, but you really, really don't want to do without? What might some of those things be? Your car? Sure. Oh, sorry, cars. Yeah.
Music.
Yeah. There are some things that are the base necessity for living, and there's some things that we find that we need for life to be joyful and meaningful, right? We might include our families in those. We might include coffee or tea in the morning when we go to work. There might be some other things we might add on to that list. Beyond the basic necessities, I do love my morning tea. It's one of my favorite things to have in the morning. It's one of those things I splurge on a little bit. I buy loose leaf tea from a place downtown instead of getting tea bags from the grocery store because I like a nice cup of tea in the morning. And ideally, I like to sit with it and maybe read a book or do a puzzle or do something in the morning as I wake up. But I also know that I need exercise and I like to swim. And the best time for me to swim is in the morning before work starts. And often I need to get work done and I need to go. And so some of these needs war with each other. Right? They fight. You know, it might be a need for music might show up in the form of an early band morning practice, which might conflict with the need for sleep. This is an issue in our household, 3 mornings a week sometimes. There are all these things that we need that we can't always get. And it's in that conflicting or unmet need point when we thirst. So when we say thirst, of course, the first thing we think of is water, is hydration, but we also often use that word thirst for other things, right? Thirst for knowledge, a thirst for love, a thirst for a connection or understanding or belonging, right? We will often talk about thirst in this form of an unmet need or an unmet want. And sometimes in our lives, there is something missing that we need that we don't even recognize or acknowledge. Sometimes we're thirsting and we don't even know what we're thirsting for. And we end up trying all of these different things to try and address this need inside of us that don't work. I think all too often, people who have no connection to God, they chase after things, thinking that's what they need, when what they're missing is actually that connection to God. All too often, I think that's what happens in our world. And God offers to meet our needs, to address our thirsts. And what's amazing about it is he offers to do so without cost. Right? This is what Nancy read from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Later he says, listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Listen, God says. You're chasing after all of these things that aren't working. Come. He says, why would you spend your money on things that you don't need when you could have what you need for free? Why do you labor for something that does not satisfy? And perhaps it's reasonable at this point to be a bit skeptical. If anyone comes up to you on the street, maybe you're in a store or you're somewhere else, and says, free samples or free lunch, right? Maybe your first response might be, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? What's the catch? What's the thing that's hidden? Where's the hidden cost? We often look for that. And I think in the world, that's probably a safe thing to do, because often there is a hidden catch. And here's the thing. It's true that even the living water is not free. God didn't say receive for free. He said receive without cost to you. Because this is the remarkable thing, right? When somebody offers a free lunch, it's free to you. But someone paid for the food. Somebody bought it from the farmers or paid for the seeds and put in the energy and the blood and the sweat and the tears sometimes to grow that food. There's a cost. But what God says in Isaiah, what Jesus says from the cross, is we don't have to pay it. Yes, there's a cost. But God says, I will pay the cost so you don't have to. God offers us this living water without money, without cost to us, but at great cost to God. When we say that God so loved the world, he came, he gave his only begotten son, that's a cost. That's a cost that God willingly paid because he loves us. And when Jesus was on the cross and said that he thirsted, he gave up for that moment that connection to the living water so that we would never have to. So that when he was resurrected, and we'll get there on Easter Sunday, we would not have to pay the same cost he did. So when we thirst, when there's something deep inside us that says that something's missing, we're invited to come to God. To come to God and say, God, please, I need you. Song we sing, every hour I need you. And God always says yes. He says, come, listen. Receive water, receive food without cost, and be satisfied. What a wonderful gift. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the water and the food that you give to our souls to refresh us, to fill us up. We thank you that you were willing to pay the cost so that we didn't have to, so that it would truly, to us, be free. Help us, God, when we're chasing after things that don't bring us satisfaction, that you would bring us back to you. Help us to see where you're calling and to follow. And help us to share the wonder of your living bread and living water with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.